Morning. Happy New Year to you all. Open my Bible here. And if you would, please go ahead and open up your Bibles with me as well to Proverbs chapter 18. Be Proverbs chapter 18, verse 12. And while you're turning there, I thought since we're about to start a new year, we could take a short walk down memory lane and look at some things that happened in the past, for you maybe not so long ago, for others hopefully perhaps a lot longer ago. But what I'm talking about is something foolish that we might have done in the past. Has anybody ever done something foolish in the past? Okay, good. I'm glad I'm not the only one who has done something foolish in the past. So one of the things that I did once upon a time is when I went to go tour a college campus, and we were walking around, is I noticed that there was a bicycle rack. And of course, what do young fellows do when they see bicycle racks? Does anyone know? They want to jump over them, right? Generally, not a good idea if you're not able to jump over them. But I was pretty sure, I was pretty confident that I had the skill and the ability to do so. And as I took my running leap and I got midway across that bicycle rack, the truth hit me. Right about the ankle, which was a bicycle rack, and I kind of, you know, tumbled around, and it was pretty humiliating. And I know it was humiliating because my friends looked at me and they laughed a lot. And then they asked me, "Can you do that again so we can enjoy it a second time?" And I said, "No, thank you. I think I'll let this one go." Right. But if we turn our attention to our text this morning, we'll be moving from this verse. But Proverbs 18:12 says, "Before destruction, the heart of a man is haughty, and before honor is humility." You see, I let my haughty heart convince me I was capable of performing something that I was not capable of doing. I tried to literally elevate myself into a position which wasn't best for me, something beyond which God had intended for me, because he didn't give me the skill to jump that high, right? And it was a pretty humiliating experience. If I had been a little bit more aware of reality, I would have recognized that attempting the bike rack jump was probably a pretty foolish idea, but my ego had convinced me otherwise. And again, Proverbs 18:12 says, "Before destruction, the heart of a man is haughty, and before honor is humility." We see, if we are not careful, we will make foolish choices similar to the bike rack jump, but only in our spiritual lives. In our spiritual destruction through pride is a much more serious matter than tripping over a bike rack. Please bow your heads with me as we pray. Dear Lord, we just thank you for the opportunity to open up your word together. Pray that you would just continue to be with those who are out, sick, and be with the Ogles. Pray that you would just give me clarity in my words and speech, and that this message would speak to me just as much as anyone else here. And we pray that you would just continue to guide us all together as we learn from your word together this morning. I pray this in your name. Amen. So as I look back over this text, again, that's Proverbs 18:12, I was contemplating over this verse, and I recognize that there's an old principle that's at work here, and I would say it's a principle in proportionality, which is at work in our spiritual lives. That is, the greater we understand our spiritual plight, the humbler we become. And the more humble we become, the more successful we become in spiritual things. This is because proper humility deepens our dependence upon God. And if we hope to be more spiritually successful this year than we were last year, or if we hope to end this coming year with the same spiritual success as we hope as we start out in it, then we're going to have to determine and be resolute in pursuing God more deeply. We must realize that our spiritual success is born out of humility and dependence upon God. So with this in mind, we're going to be turning to our main text this morning, which is in 2 Chronicles chapter 26. That's 2 Chronicles chapter 26. And you're undoubtedly familiar with the story here of King Uzziah. And we're going to examine how King Uzziah illustrates Proverbs 18:12. Specifically, we're going to be looking at several aspects of a haughty heart, which is the title of the message this morning, A Haughty Heart. And the results of these aspects of a haughty heart in our lives is something that we want to avoid at all costs. And if we are to maintain a humble and spiritually successful attitude in the upcoming year, we must reject the haughty heart and the various components that brings with it. So first of all, let's go ahead and examine our text this morning in 2 Chronicles chapter 26. I'll be starting at verse 1 and reading through verse 5, and then we'll move down to verse 16 here. Then all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king in the room of his father Amaziah. It's quite the charge there, 16 years old and a king. He built Eloth and restored it to Judah. After that, the king slept with his fathers. 16 years old was Uzziah when he began to reign, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Jechaliah of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah did. And he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding and visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. Then going down to verse 16, but when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord his God and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. And Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him 80 priests of the Lord that were valiant men. And they withstood Uzziah the king and said unto him, it appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priests, the son of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed, neither shall it be for thine honor from the Lord. Then Uzziah was wroth, and he had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was wroth with the priests, the leprosy even rose up in his forehead before the priests in the house of the Lord, from beside the incense altar. And Azariah the chief priest and all the priests looked upon him, and behold, he was leprous in his forehead, and they thrust him out from thence. Yet he hastened also to go out, because the Lord had smitten him. And Uzziah the king was a leper unto the day of his death, and dwelt in a several house, being a leper, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord, and Jotham his son was over the king's house, judging the people of the land. It's quite the tale, quite the sad story, really. We see that in the beginning, Uzziah was somebody who sought God passionately with his whole person, with his whole being. And somewhere along the line, something happened that changed his heart, and he became proudful, and he fell. And the portion of scripture that we did not thoroughly examine this morning, I would just highlight a few of the things that are there. It's basically a list of accomplishments that Uzziah the king was able to perform. We see in verses 7 and 8, they had great victories in battle. And then also, verse 8, we see that he had great fame and a good name among the surrounding nations. We see that he built great architectural marvels and defenses, many towers. He advanced Judah's economy through digging wells and promoting good agricultural practices. And maintained military prowess and incorporated the most advanced military technologies into his defenses and into his cities. He had many various engines and all kinds of things that were this pretty cutting-edge technology of the day. And as we read through the list of all Uzziah's accomplishments, we clearly see that God's providence and wisdom was behind him. But when we come to verse 16, we recognize that there is a change that has taken place in Uzziah. The Bible says Uzziah's heart was lifted up to his very destruction. And did you see when that change occurred in Uzziah's heart? Verse 16 again, but when he was strong, it wasn't when he was weak, it wasn't when he was doing poorly, wasn't when he was in a tight spot, but it was when everything was going correctly, everything was going well. It was when he was at the high point of his reign in his kingdom. This was undoubtedly towards the end of his 52-year reign. So you can imagine that, a 50-year legacy of success. And then his heart was lifted up to his destruction. So what was it that caused Uzziah, after all this time, to come to this low place, which is characterized by high pride. Right? What was it that had Uzziah to this place? Well, if we look at this closely, we can examine Uzziah's life, and I believe one of the first characteristics we see in Uzziah as he gets to this place is that he was deceived. He was deceived by a self-deceiving, haughty heart. So that is my first point this morning, is that a haughty heart is a self-deceiving heart. You see, pride grows secretly and slowly in our hearts. It doesn't want to be discovered. And it subtly shifts our thinking one small step at a time until we find ourselves in a place that we should never be in, but we've already grown accustomed to it. If we remember our proverb in Proverbs 18:12, where we started this morning, I looked up that word haughty. And what I found was that the tense of that word demonstrates a state of being that is a habitual or customary action. In other words, a young man that once loved and served God and sought God with all his heart was long, long gone by the time Uzziah reached this point. He had traded a habit for seeking God for a habit of seeking self. He had, instead of a heart of seeking the Lord, had a heart attuned to the things of what he desired and his accomplishments. Now, but if we look to our text again, we read in verse 5, at the end of verse 5, as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. We know that it was not Uzziah's doing, but of the Lord. And then again in verse 7, it was God who helped him against the Philistines in fighting against his various enemies. So can I ask you this morning, what are our habits like today? Are we regularly seeking God? Are there things that we have in our lives that are distracting us from that? Have we let something slip in our spiritual lives? How far have we come down a road we might not even know we're on yet? Something worth thinking about. I don't think any of us ever becomes or plans on becoming a proud person. I don't think King Uzziah did, but that's where he ended up. And he certainly did accomplish a lot, but we know that it wasn't really him, but that it was God behind him who was supporting him. It was God that had caused him to prosper. And his success as a leader was not because of what he did, but because of the Lord. And in the same way, the Lord helps us in our spiritual weakness, to the point that when we were literally spiritually dead, he brought us to life through his salvation. And we hear it all the time. We try to live the Christian life by our own power and by our own designs rather than remaining in the strength and the grace that saved us in the first place. And then we seem surprised when it doesn't work out like we think it should, and that's because our pride has deceived us yet again. We read in verse 16, Uzziah's proud heart convinced itself that it was within Uzziah's right to perform a function of a priest. Interestingly, Uzziah was the third king to reside over Israel, Judah, who thought that it was his place to intercede into the priest's office. The first one, you probably remember, was King Saul, who did the sacrifice before Samuel arrived. And the second one, I did not realize until I began studying, was King Jeroboam. Here we find Uzziah committing the same mistake as two others before him. As a king, he should have known these things. He would have known his history. He grew up serving God. He would have known the law. He would have known that it wasn't his place to do such a thing, yet he did it anyway. He was the last king to do this. He was the last king to make the mistake of stepping into the priesthood where he should not have been. Perhaps he thought his past accomplishments afforded him some kind of special favor with God. Perhaps he thought he no longer needed a mediator between himself and God, that he was good enough by the merit of all the good things that he had accomplished, but that wasn't true. The Bible records for us that the ultimate reason he did what he did was because of his pride. And his pride had led him to believe that what was inappropriate, he thought, was now appropriate. Again, we see the line of deceptive reasoning of a haughty heart. And if we turn back to the text, we'll go ahead and read verses 17 and 18 one more time here. Then, wrong page for me. And Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him 80 priests of the Lord that were valiant men. 80, score is 20, so 80 people, 80 priests. And these weren't just your regular run-of-the-mill priests. These were priests that were able to handle themselves if things went south. No pun intended to the brewbakers. Right? And they withstood Uzziah the king and said unto him, "It appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priests, the son of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed, neither shall it be for thine honor from the Lord." See, Uzziah may have been a king, but he was a proud king. And when he came to the temple, where he had undoubtedly have frequented many times, everybody knew that what he was doing was wrong. 80 people withstood him to his face and told him that he was wrong. 80 people under the conviction of the Lord, 80 people who were godly men, told him that what you're about to do is wrong. And yet he went against the word of 80 people. Can you imagine going to 80 pastors and asking them, "Should I do this thing?" And they all told you unequivocally, "No, don't do that. That is a sin against God's word." And would you go ahead and still do it? You know, probably not a wise idea. And here they are in a group, you know, and Uzziah goes ahead and seeks to burn the incense. And I think that's just further characterizing how far his haughty heart had become. Just quite a scary thought that a person can get that far. But his haughty heart desired a position and honor which was never right for him to have. It was the very same sin that Satan committed in the beginning. The very same sin that Adam and Eve committed that sometimes you and I commit. Now, Psalms 131:1 says, a song of decrees of David, "Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor my eyes lofty. Neither do I exercise myself in great matters or in things too high for me." What's amazing about this psalm is that David, even as a king, recognizes that there are positions and places and authorities which even he himself must be placed under. King Uzziah had lost sight of those things. And yet again, we see evidence of Uzziah's deceived heart. In the front of 80 men, he still believed that he was the person who should offer incense, even though the law specifically forbade it. One author has written of Uzziah, "He began to think no business, no honor, too great or too good for him. He was not content with the honors God had put upon him, but would usurp those that were forbidden him, like our first parents." Then I would like to draw your attention to one little phrase that's tucked in at the end of verse 18. "Neither shall it be for thine honor from the Lord." These men knew that Uzziah had forgotten in his pride that honor is from the Lord and conditional upon seeking the Lord. Again, we see that back in verse 5, "As long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper." His prosperity was conditional upon his seeking of the Lord. Isaiah did not respond well. He became wroth, became very angry. And we'll see what happens to that here in a minute. Again, a haughty heart is a self-deceived heart. And again, our proverb this morning, Proverbs 18:12, "Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, and before honor is humility." So that brings us to our second point this morning, which is a haughty heart is a self-destructive heart. One time when I was going to school, I went to a class, and there was a fellow there. He showed up the very first day, and then he disappeared the rest of the semester. And then he showed up again on the day of the final, and he came up to me and he said, "Hey, can I sit by you? And you just move your elbow over here a little bit. And then, you know, I can take the final and get a passing grade." And I didn't say anything to him. But during the test, I took my paper and it went like this. Let's just say he didn't pass the class, right? his pride in not believing he needed to attend the class had led to his destruction, right? He failed the class because he was not willing to do what he ought to do and was prideful about it, similar to Uzziah's case. And as I compared a few words in verse 16 with Proverbs 18:12, I found that the word for heart is the same word meaning the inner man, the mind, or the will. But then I came to the word destruction, and really this sent shivers up and down my spine. These words are very different. In Proverbs, the word destruction carries the idea of breaking or fracturing or crushing. It gives us the idea of taking a vase or a clay pot and smashing it on the ground, utterly destroying it. Or it gives the idea of walking along and then tripping and then fracturing a bone or a limb. But the word for destruction in Uzziah's story is a different word. In verse 16, the word destruction here means to be marred or spoiled, to be ruined or to decay. Jeremiah 12:10 gives us a picture of this word as representing a beautiful vineyard which has been trampled down and made into a desolate wilderness. Uzziah had begun his rule with a beautiful heart, one intent on serving God. He was fruitful, and verse 5 says, as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. But his heart was ruined. It was decayed by pride. What was once productive became worthless and useless, and where there was once beauty and a tender heart was now hard and barren. It looks like 2020 could be a good year, a productive one, but what are we doing to ensure it stays that way in our hearts? What spiritual actions are we taking to avoid becoming unfruitful? And do we have a plan in place to prevent spiritual deception and destruction from taking hold on our hearts this morning? Again, something we're thinking about. I also examined the word transgress here in verse 16, and the idea behind that is to act unfaithfully, that is to act treacherously, even as Judas betrayed Christ. See, prideful hearts don't just go along merrily until some circumstances cause them to fall, but they cause their own destruction. A haughty heart is a self-destructive heart. I was astounded at the imagery that's used in these verses when we see Uzziah's downfall. And we'll read verses 20 through 21 one more time. And Amaziah would not hear, came from God. Oh, wrong page again. And Azariah, the chief priest, and all the priests looked upon him, and behold, he was leprous in his forehead. And they thrust him out from thence, yea, he himself hastened also to go out, because the Lord had smitten him. And Uzziah the king was a leper unto the day of his death, and dwelt in several house, being a leper, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord, and Jotham his son was over the king's house, judging the people of the land. And what I'd like to point out here is that his prideful heart not only deceived him, but his spiritual heart began to decay, and it became spoiled. And the leprosy which grew outwardly upon him was the perfect representation of his spiritual condition, that condition of his prideful heart. One author has observed, if presumptuous men will not be made to see the error by the judgments of God's mouth, then they shall be made to see it by the judgment of his hand. And Isaiah 2:12 says, for the day of the Lord of hosts shall be upon everyone that is proud and lofty, and upon everyone that is lifted up, and he shall be brought low. Uzziah's destruction involved the loss of his position, wealth, status, reputation, and kingdom. And this brings us to our third point this morning, brief but significant. A haughty heart is a self-isolating heart. Haughty heart is a self-isolating heart. See this in verse 22. Now the rest of the acts of Uzziah's first and last did Isaiah the prophet, son of Amos, write. For Uzziah slept with his fathers, and they buried him with his fathers in the field, the burial which belonged to the kings, where they said, he is a leper. And Jotham, his son, reigned in his stead. See, the judgment of leprosy was final, and he was ostracized from everyone, everything, his family, his social life, anything that pertained to being able to walk about freely in public. He now had to shout unclean. He had to isolate himself. he was no longer allowed or welcome in the temple where he once frequented so often and where he had devotions for his God. Another author has said, his punishment was an incurable leprosy which rose up in his forehead while he was contending with the priests. If he had submitted to the priest's admonishment, acknowledged his error and gone back, all would have been well. But when he was wroth with the priests and fell foul upon them, and God was wroth with him and smote him with the plague of leprosy. Josephus says that he threatened the priests with death if they opposed him, and that then the earth shook and the roof of the temple opened, and through the cleft a beam of sun darted directly upon the king's face, wherein immediately the leprosy appeared. So that part's just an interesting bit from Josephus. Of course, he's a historical figure. Whether or not that took place, can't say for certain. But a lot of people believe that that earthquake was the one that is talked about later in some of the other prophets. Now notice where the leprosy is seen. It's in his forehead. It was made evident for all to see that this man had leprosy and this man was unclean. The once high-minded king, whose face was so well recognized in the temple, now plainly showed to everyone the sin and pride which had been slowly growing inside. As the priests looked and saw the disease, they thrust him out. The word carries the idea of both haste and dismay, speed and terror. With great fear, they quickly got him out, and Uzziah himself fled from the temple, so he had been smitten by the Lord. Where Uzziah had undoubtedly spent much time and passionate devotion to God, he was no longer welcome. See, pride isolates you from the truth and from God. But in Uzziah's case, his pride also insulated him from everything else, his family, his friends, even chance meetings with strangers, never being able to freely communicate with others because of his leprosy. And the Bible tells us in verse 23 that even in death, he had to be buried in a separate location because of his leprosy. Had Uzziah been diligent to guard his heart from pride, to remain content with the success and position God had afforded to him, he could have remained a king. Could have gone down in Bible history as one of the few great kings of Judah. If you look at that list of accomplishments, it's quite impressive. But when we look down to verse 23, what do we read? See that he is a leper. And I believe that this is what Uzziah was known for in the end, for being a leper. Uzziah, not Uzziah the mighty leader, not Uzziah the great builder and engineer, not Uzziah the one that God had prospered and helped, not even Uzziah the king, no, just Uzziah the leper, the one who God cursed. His greatest accomplishment, the one with the longest reaching impact, and the one we hear about today, was his pride, the one that we know him for. 52 years of successful leadership, all gone in a moment of self-centeredness. Does our pride result in broken fellowship with others? Have we isolated ourselves from godly influences to respond in anger rather than humility when confrontations come? Again, Proverbs 18:12, our verse for today, before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, before honor is humility. It is ultimately Uzziah's pride that led to his downfall, and even after his fall, it was still his pride that kept him from repentance. And pride has a hardening effect. And the longer we choose to ignore it in our lives, the more it grows until perhaps we come to a confrontation of no recovery. So we've looked at a few aspects of the haughty heart, that is a deceived heart, a self-destructive heart, and a self-isolating heart. With that in mind, we're going to look at some solutions to some of these things here. So with that, our first verse here, let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. And then Psalms 51:10, create in me clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Psalm 26:2 says, examine me, O Lord, and prove me, try my reins and my heart. And in the New Testament, we have 1 Peter 1:22, which says, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. Then if you would, please turn with me to 1 Corinthians 11. So 1 Corinthians 11, we'll look at verse 28 here. And you are familiar with this passage as well. We typically discuss this at communion time, but it is appropriate when we think about what it takes to avoid a haughty heart. If the first aspect of a haughty heart is one that is a self-deceiving heart, the cure to a self-deceiving heart is one that is a self-examining heart or a self-assessing heart. And of course, we typically do this more formally at communion, but this is something that we should practice all the time. If we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 28, we'll go ahead and read that here this morning. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Again, this passage is specifically talking about partaking of the Lord's Supper, but I do believe that the principle is appropriate for us to apply to this situation, and that we should be people who have a heart that we are constantly self-assessing. We should be constantly in God's Word and seeing where our motives are and where they lie and what might be there that needs to be corrected. The only way we can, I guess, correct our view, correct our thoughts, and put them in line with what God has for us is by prayer and reading His Word, so we know what the will of God is. I would like to draw your attention to verse 31 in 1 Corinthians here. And the verse is, "For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged." The Word corrects us. Uzziah had 80 people correcting him. Uzziah had the Word of God spoken to him in that moment, and he still chose to ignore it and move on. So what do we do if we find sin present with us when we do evaluate ourselves, when we do look at our own hearts? Well, Psalm 51 gives us a pattern for recovery from sin. And you can turn there if you like, Psalm 51. And of course, this is the famous Psalm of David after he had sinned with Bathsheba. And it gives us a perfect pattern for what to do when we come across sin in our own lives. I'm going to start with verse 2, Psalm 51, verse 2. And David says, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, "Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and to be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden parts thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice." Again, the very definition of destruction, one of them was that of a broken bone, right? "Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Uphold me with thy free spirit. Then I will teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee." We can go through the rest of that psalm as well. But did you notice that the pattern that David set for us when we recognize sin in our own lives? The first is the acknowledgement of that sin, followed by the repentance of that sin, which is followed by the cleansing and forgiveness of that sin. In other words, our responsibility as Christians is to be in continual communion with Christ through our prayer, through our Bible reading, devotions, through the practicing and doing of His Word, and of course, Christian fellowship. It is through constant communion with our God and godly people which allows us to accurately know our heart's condition and our heart's standing and make corrections as needed. But secondly, we also need to have a self-humbled heart. And we do that by practicing thankfulness. And I know Pastor Ogle has mentioned this many times, but one of the keys to getting rid of pride is to become thankful. Romans 1:21 says, because that when they knew not God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. These verses in Romans tell us that a lack of thankfulness is one of the first steps to the heart being darkened, one of the first steps becoming prideful, one of the first steps in our heart's deception against our own selves. And then if I could draw your attention back to 1 Corinthians just for a moment. Have you ever noticed that before giving communion, I'm going to find the verse here. In verse 24, and when he had given thanks, he brake it. So Christ here is in the beginning processes of communion. And the very first words that are in that is that he gives thanks. Have you ever noticed that when Christ is giving communion, Christ is distributing the very bread which represents his own broken body, that he gave thanks for that bread? The very wine itself, he gave thanks for that wine that represented his own blood. And I think that's just a pretty incredible picture, just something kind of unfathomable to think about. He gave thanks for the symbolism that was given to him that represented his very death. So lastly here, I'd just like to finish up with a poem that my wife had come across, and I really thought it fit quite well. And in order to prevent a self-isolating heart, we must possess a self-denying heart. And I feel that this poem really sums that up. Lord, help me live from day to day in such a self-forgetful way that even when I kneel to pray, my prayer shall be for others. Help me in all the work I do to ever be sincere and true, and know that all I do for you must needs be done for others. And when my work on earth is done, and my new work in heaven begun, may I forget the crown I've won while thinking still of others. Others, Lord, yes, others, let this my motto be. Help me to live for others that I may live like thee. Those are the keys to avoiding the haughty heart. Would you please bow your heads in prayer with me? Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time we could spend together in your word, and we pray that you would just be working on our hearts through these admonitions that you've given us, that we could avoid a haughty heart, that we could begin 2022 with just a proper attitude and a proper mindset, and also just taking the precautions of setting up for ourselves a plan to be diligent in making sure that pride does not creep into our very hearts, our souls. I pray that you would just, over the next few moments here, work on our hearts through the teaching of your word, and that you would continue to be with us as we leave this place today. I pray this in your name. Amen.